How many of you were here last Sunday? Anybody remember what we talked about? Did anybody write down the five basic needs of a man? Can you recite those? Tell me what they were. Saw you, Miss Carolyn, first. What were they? A man has a need for sexual fulfillment, recreational companionship. He needs an attractive woman. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He needs domestic support. And he needs admiration. Let's give Miss Carolyn a hand. Praise the Lord. Miss Carolyn, come down right quick. Pick up this book by Byron August. I'm going to give you a copy of that healing crossword puzzles and all of that. Anybody write down the five basic needs of a woman? Every woman in the building, your hand should have gone up. I saw your hand first. Tell me, what were they? If you wrote them down, what were they? Say it again. Did you have them? I saw your hand first. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, tell us what the five basic needs of a woman were. Affection. Talking on a feeling. Oh, Lord Jesus. Talking on a feeling level. Yes, ma'am. Openness and honesty. What you say? I didn't say money last week. I said financial support. She wrote down money. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. And then one more. See, you got to be careful what you say. Amen. She wrote down money. And then what was the fifth one? Family time. So come on down. That was right. Give her a hand, everybody. That's Brother Hagin's In Him book, little booklet, the In Him realities. I'm going to hit on those today. And that's why I'm giving the little booklet away. So praise the Lord. I want to pick up where we left off on last Sunday. Again, we've been talking about faith, family, and marriage. And I specifically today want to zero in on singles, or those of us in the congregation that are single. Maybe you're not married now, and if you're single, you're not married, obviously, but you're believing God again to maybe someday be married again, or maybe it's your desire to stay single for the rest of your life, or maybe even raise your kids, or whatever the case might be, and then go on from there. And so I subtitled this, we're on faith, family, and marriage, but I've subtitled it The Pursuit of Happiness. Anybody see the movie with Will Smith and his little boy called The Pursuit of Happiness, in which he plays a stockbroker by the name of Chris Gardner, who had basically lost everything, was living in a subway bathroom and on and on and on. And he went on to make millions and become a multimillionaire because he would not quit. Look at somebody and say, never quit. And so I wanted to subtitle this The Pursuit of Happiness, because somehow, some way within our culture, we live under the belief that marriage means I am marrying someone who will be responsible for making me happy for the rest of my life. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that? Look at somebody and say, that ain't true. The nobody has the responsibility, in case you have never realized this, no one has the responsibility of making you happy for the rest of your life. In fact, you don't get married so that you can be made happy by the other person for the rest of your life.
Right,
amen. Can I get an amen? That's a pretty big responsibility for an individual to take on, the responsibility of making you happy for the rest of your life. Look at somebody and say, that's a pretty big job. Hello, hello, hello. Because the individual may be endeavoring to make you happy, and you may be content on being unhappy for the rest of your life. So happiness is not something that you acquire when you move into a relationship. It's something that you bring to the relationship. And until you are happy, I suggest that you don't get married until you are. Can I get an amen? And so now for my married couples and those that are viewing online, now that you are married and you say, well, Pastor Billy Joe, it's too late. I'm married now. Well, if you are married now, then you have the responsibility for making your own self happy. And that's not pressure that you should put on the person that you are with. Can I get a praise the Lord to that? So we're going to cover it. We're going to go over it. And it's it's specifically geared toward our singles, but there are married folk that obviously have to benefit from the principles as well. Now, I found this out a number of years ago. Someone was interviewing, and I don't watch this individual on television. I certainly don't listen to the individual on radio. And when I say his name, you will know why. Howard Stern, who is an individual I'm not a fan, I don't listen, I don't watch, on and on and on. But Howard Stern, a number of years ago, signed a $400 million contract with the syndication people that he was syndicating his radio show through. Look at somebody and say, $400 million is a lot of money. Before taxes, all right? And at the time that he signed a $400 million contract, he was making, his salary at the time was $80 million a year. I didn't say $80, I said $80 million a year. And so someone asked Howard Stern in an interview, Howard Stern, now that you're making, you just signed a $400 million contract, you're making $80 million a year, are you happy? And anybody want to guess what Howard Stern said? He said, I have never been happy a single day in my life. Jim Carrey recently, who has kind of, you know, removed himself from Hollywood and all, you know, pictures and a lot of guest appearances and on and on and on. I guess he's now coming back into it. Jim Carrey of, I don't know, Encino Man, Dumb and Dumber, the cable guy, blah, blah, blah. You guys know who he is. They asked him the question and he said, what I wish for every human being is that every human being on the planet would become an instant millionaire so that they could all experience and find out that money will never make you happy. That was a quote from Jim Carrey. And I thought it was very interesting. So as we look at this, as we talk about faith, family, marriage, you know, specifically the pursuit of happiness, I wanted to open up by saying, in case you didn't realize it, there's not another human being on the planet responsible for making you happy. That's something that you work out between you and God. It's something that's internal. It's something that can never be achieved by having the right car, the right house, the right children that behave, the right spouse, the right man, the right kind of dog, man's best friend. It'll never happen by achieving any of those kinds of things. It's an inside job. Look at somebody and say, it's an inside job. And so you bring your happy to the relationship, to the marriage. And if you're not happy, don't worry about the relationship. Don't worry about getting married until you are happy. And by happy, I mean you are satisfied with who you are. You are content within yourself. You look in the mirror and you value yourself. You value who you are. You value what God has given you. You're excited about who you are. You don't need the stamp of another individual to validate your sense of self-worth. You already have a good sense of your own self-worth. Amen. You're not looking for a relationship to feel better. You're not looking for a relationship to make you better. So my little girls are leaving to go to college next year. Listen to me. Listen to me, baby. Listen to me, honey. Amen. Because when you get to college as a senior, as a freshman, the senior guy may look at you and try to convince you how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, and you're a freshman and I'm a senior. You need me. So there's a lot of freshman girls that go off to college who never really dated when they were in high school because mom and them said you can't date till you're 18 years old and la 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 la. And they get off to college and they meet the guy that's a senior and he's a star football player and he's a star basketball player and he starts telling her, oh girl, you're wonderful, oh I love you, and he might even buy her an ice cream cone. And all of a sudden, this 18-year-old freshman who loved herself, who had a good sense of self-worth, who didn't need the validation of a man or he didn't need the validation of a woman, all of a sudden they're in a relationship that they really don't want to be in. But there's a sense of value and worth. Oh, my God. He loves me. He loves me. And all of a sudden, they can't hardly study, and they lose their focus, and they want to drop out of school and get married because this dude is in love with them. Look at somebody and shake your finger at them and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do that. Don't do it, don't do it. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about that and lay some 411 on you, some information and revelation so that you can realize that you are perfect. I like to say, you know, God brought the woman under the man and he created the man. Boom, boom, boom. And he formed a woman. Yada, yada, you know, formed her. Get it. He formed a woman and then he brought her. Woo! Bow, bam, and he brought her unto the woman, unto the man, not to fulfill his person, but to fulfill his purpose. And so the whole idea of getting together and engaging in relationships, you're not looking for fulfillment. You're not looking to become happy. I'm so unhappy. I was so unhappy. And now he's made me. No, no, no. Only God can give you that. And it's really amazing how we go to another human being to give us things that only God can give us. Thank God for companionship. Thank God you have somebody to cook some brisket with and make some street tacos. And we got three girls and we got Blue the dog. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. And we got this family thing going on. We got it going on. Amen. But in the midst of all of that, you should have come happy to the relationship. Can I get an amen to that? All right. And not put the responsibility on someone else of making you happy. So I wanted to give you these. Let me pick up right here where I left off. I want to give you the top 10 intimacy needs that people have, that human beings have. These are the top 10. You know, they ask in a survey, they ask a number of people, what is it that you need? And these are the top 10s that those individuals responded with. Number one, an individual has a need, an intimacy need. Number one, for attention, for attention. Someone to notice that you are there. Someone to say, hello, hey, how you doing today? How is your day going? How is your day going? Praise God. Children need hugs and all of that. That's why when a lady has a baby, they bring that baby right to the mother and let the mother hold that baby close. Because really, spiritually, there is just an absolute incredible transference of intimacy and closeness and all of that, that the and bonding that the mother and the baby begin to do immediately as the child is born. Can I get an amen to that? They've proven that is true. Number one is attention. Number two, acceptance. Acceptance is another one of the top 10 intimacy needs that an individual needs. Number two is acceptance. Number three, appreciation. Remember, we talked about the five basic needs of a man, and a man has a need. He has an ego. He has an ego. The man wants to know that he's appreciated and that he's loved and that you appreciate the job that I did, and I brought home the bacon and you put it in the pan and you fried it up, or you brought home the bacon and you fried it up and I ate it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there's just something about the ideal of being accepted within a relationship or particularly within a marriage or particularly just among your friends. Number four, he has a need or she has a need for support. Support me. You could at least support me. Help me. Support me. Number four. Number five, encouragement. Number five is encouragement. One writer said that encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. Oh, my God, man, we wither under criticism, but we blossom with encouragement. There's something about hearing somebody tell you, man, I appreciate you, Kurt, man. You're tall, you're dark, you're handsome. You're quick. You're handsome. You're going somewhere to happen, brother. You're a major blessing. Amen. I said, amen. You can appreciate that coming from the people in your life that love you and appreciate you. Number six is affection. Whether we realize it or not, we all have a need for affection. It's not just one of the five basic needs of a woman, but men can be very affectionate. And this is something that should not ever get lost within a relationship. We remember last Sunday, I was talking about non-sexual contact. Anybody remember that? Non-sexual, meaning you're touching not to so that it can end in the act of lovemaking, but you're touching because you want to communicate this need for affection. Can I get a praise the Lord to that? Amen. And I was saying again that I'm very affectionate. I'm a hugger. You got to forgive me on that. You know, if you're not a hugger, I'm sorry about that. but I am a hugger. I always make the commitment that when I'm dealing with women, I will always hug the right way, like give the little church hug thing on the side right here. Y'all, come here, Rod. Go, come here right quick. Let's do this for the people at home because they may not get it. And the people say, hey, Pastor, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? All right then, amen. Hallelujah. And so there's a way to be affectionate that is not threatening to someone, not coming. Can I use words like this today? Not coming on to someone, not trying to slip in a little, you know, trying to slip in a little something on the slide. Come on, y'all. Amen. That's how stuff gets started. You know, if y'all say amen, I'll get done quicker. Amen. All right, then. And so these are things that are very, very important because a lot of these kinds of things go on in the church environment. Men that are hitting on women and women that are hitting on men. And we got to be very aware. Amen. We got to be aware of that. Am I in the right place at the right time this morning? All right. I thought I was. Amen. All right. Let me keep going. Let me keep going. Number seven is approval. Number seven is approval. Number eight is security. One of the top 10 intimacy needs that every human has. Number nine is comfort. Comfort. And then number 10 is respect. Isn't that what Aretha Franklin said? All right, then. Number 10 is respect. So I think it's essential and very important that you and I realize the top 10 intimacy needs that you and I have as human beings. Those are absolutely legitimate needs. Everybody say legitimate needs. Legitimate. And if you're not getting them at home, you cannot go somewhere else to get them. Not in the sense of an intimate relationship. Now, you may have friends that hug you and tell you and love you and respect you and comfort you. That's absolutely okay. But the whole idea of going out to seek it out from another person, that's a no-no. Look at somebody and say, that's no-no, no-no, no-no. No, say it like me, no-no. All right, then. So I want to pick up here in Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 21. Here's what I'm proposing today. The pursuit of happiness is an inside job. It's not something you marry to get. It's something you bring with you to the marriage, to the relationship, or specifically to the marriage. All right. You should already have that covered before you get married. You like yourself before you get married. You can stand and look at yourself in the mirror. Yeah. Before you get married. Can I get an amen? You value yourself before you get married. You already had value there. That's why when you value yourself, I feel led to go here. Y'all feel led. Everybody say, go here, Pastor. That's why valuing yourself is so important because you value you, it's easier for you to walk away from certain relationships. Where you are devalued. Remember, you want to be with somebody that is going to add something to you and not what? Subtract something from you. All right. And so she came unto the man and helped the man fulfill his purpose, his God-given purpose on the earth. But in Hebrews 13, verse 21, we get some insight in the kind of prayer that you as a single person, particularly as well as a married couple, the kind of prayer that you can pray for yourself while you're standing and believing God to maybe be married someday or married again or start another family or whatever the case might be. Amen. Hebrews 13, look at verse 21. Strengthen, complete, and perfect. May God strengthen, complete. The word complete here literally means to be made whole, to be made whole. You come into a relationship whole. You don't come in broken. You don't come in busted. You don't come in with parts missing out of your heart and out of your life. Maybe you were broke. And remember, have you ever heard about somebody? And now he broke my heart. He broke my heart. Well, before you get to the next relationship, you better get your heart mended. Amen. Because the prayer here says, may the God of heaven or may God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good. Everybody say everything good. That you may carry out his will. All I'm saying today in this message, the pursuit of happiness means may God perfect you, complete you, make you whole, making you, doing you, working you to work out his will where your life is concerned. So while you're waiting to be married, while you're waiting to go into a serious relationship because your mother and father said you cannot date until you are 18 years of age. Amen. In the meantime, in the process of everything, you are standing and waiting and being made complete and perfect. And God is making you what you ought to be. He's equipping you for every good work that you may be able to carry out his will. Why he himself, here's what the Amplified Bible says, and I highlighted it. While he himself works in you. So while you're waiting for your spouse to come along, while you're waiting to be married, while you're waiting to start another family, you already have children from a previous relationship, and you want to have and you want to get married, and you and your son, husband, want to have another son or another daughter. While you're waiting for all that to manifest, you're allowing what? God to work in you. I know people that are not ready for serious relationships because they don't allow God to work inside of them. And taking on the responsibility of a wife, the responsibility of a husband, the responsibility of children. Come on now. Amen. That's a pretty big responsibility. And you need to be ready for the responsibility. And if you're single and you marry someone with children and you've never had kids, you got to be ready for a blended family. Especially when the kids are like this. This big. This big, it can be easier, but not necessarily, because then you deal with the teenage years and you've never dealt with teenagers. And now you've got 3-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 7-year-olds, and they're like, "You're not my daddy! You're not my daddy!" No! And the temptation is, but you can't do that. Look at somebody and say, don't do that. Here's my point. God is working out everything, equipping you with everything good. So while you're waiting for this relationship to come along that you believe is ordained of God, he's equipping you with everything good. He's equipping you with everything good. Everybody say everything good. So the whole idea of compartmentalizing my life in church is Sunday morning worship is church, and that's the equivalent of my relationship with God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Monday through Saturday when you're by yourself, when you're at home, when you're on your job, when you're in the grocery store, when you're traveling, when you're on vacation, everywhere that you go, every single day of your life, God is working in you good things that he wants to bring to pass in your life. Can I get an amen? The very same thing is true of married people, because the temptation of married people is to get married and take the spouse for granted. After so many years, I had a guy in a post-marital counseling session, and the wife was upset, and he never hugs me, never tells me he loves me, never touches me, never does anything. She's about to pull her hair out. And I turned to the gentleman and I said, does your wife know that you love her? And he said, she knows I love her. She knows I love her. I come home every day. That's what he said. I come home every day. I go to work every day. Well, we're not talking about going to work every day and coming home. Thank God you should do that. You're not doing anybody any favors by doing that. We're talking about hugs and touches and birthday cards and Valentine's Day cards and anniversary day cards and just because cards. All the ladies said, all right. So I write to come for her to come home or go out, and there's a card on her on the windshield of her car, and it just says nothing in particular. Your birthday just passed. Our anniversary just passed. Valentine's Day just passed. I just wanted to tell you I love you just because. Is that all right? Send her on a scavenger hunt in the house for find all these little things that you planted all over the house, and you planted those things, and you did it for her birthday, and 4 weeks after her birthday, she's still finding things all over. Can I get an amen? Amen? You know, maybe for the brother, you just do something for the brother just because you cooked his favorite meal. He said, "This is my favorite meal. I only get this meal once a year." sure. And she says, well, I just because I was thinking about you and just because I made your favorite meal tonight. Can I get an amen, y'all? You guys, some of y'all looking at me like what I'm saying is foreign to you. It's foreign. I'm speaking a foreign language right now. You understand? But you have to be able to build these things in the marriage and allow God to work on you so that that can be manifested in your relationship. So there's no such thing as waiting for Mr. Goodbar. And I'm with you, to Pastor Billy John, I'm waiting for the right one. Well, in the process of waiting, this is what you should be doing. Strengthening yourself, completing yourself, perfecting yourself, and allowing God to make you what you ought to be, to equip you with every good work that you may carry out his will. Everybody say his will. It's his will. It's not just the relationship. His will is a relationship with you. So God's working in you and you're growing closer and closer and closer and closer to God. I'm not surprised that you can hear clearly from God when you've been walking with God and fellowshipping with God and having time with God. That was the whole premise of our open house prayer time yesterday. It was so that we could really encourage you in this. You need a prayer time. In fact, if you had a prayer partner, that partner might encourage you to pray more. I didn't say gossip. You could give it that prayer partner, and you and the prayer partner pray. You pray in the Holy Ghost together. You pray in English together. You're praying out the will of God. You're praying out the plan of God. So it's no wonder to me when the man of God or the man of God in your life or the woman of God in your life walks in the door, you already know it because you know it in here. Can I get an amen? You don't even have to go out on a date. Say, I don't need a date right now. That's him. That's him right there. That's the one. Why? Because God's been showing you all of that while he was completing you, perfecting you, equipping you, making you everything, giving you everything to carry out his will while he was working inside of you. I think people miss it because God is no longer working inside of them. They don't allow God to work inside of them. They compartmentalize their life. They got friends that they don't bring to church. They have friends that they hang out with outside of church. They're kind of saved and they kind of go to church a little bit and they're semi-committed to the things of God, but they're not really strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And those are the people that they hang out with during the week. So I'm not surprised that when they get here on Sunday, they're saying, Pastor Billy Joe, you got to preach something to make me happy because everything else in my life is unhappy. And you got this compartment and this compartment and this compartment, and then Sunday morning compartment is reserved for God. I'm simply saying, open up all of those departments in your life and allow God to work inside of you. Can I get an amen to that? So this whole idea about around Bubba Nim and my cousin Big Head and my cousin Slapback and all my friends, you know, all my cousin, you know, I hang with my cousin and my cousin, they don't go to church. So you're spending all of your time hanging out with them and being influenced by them and listening to their negativity and their toxic thoughts. And then you got to come to the compartment of Sunday morning church and you get energized and you get some word. I am not alone. He's my comfort. He's my comfort. And you sing the song. And you cry because God's touching you in the worship. And you go back to those other compartments in your life. And I'm saying, in order for God to work in us, we got to get rid of those compartments. You tell your little friends, listen, I'm going to church tonight. I'm going to Bible study tonight. I'm going to church on Sunday morning. They said, no, let's go. We're going to go hang out, man. There's a party tonight, and we're going to get out of there at 12. No, I don't do anything past 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, because I want to be up fresh, ready to go worship. Now, I'll go with you for a little while, but you come with me to church on Sunday morning. And they said, well, no, you know, I don't, you know, I don't do church. Well, I don't do parties after 7 o'clock then. I don't hang out after 7 o'clock then, because I'm not going to give God my leftovers after I've been out having a great time. I'm not saying don't go out and have a good time. That's not my point. My point is, don't compartmentalize your life. Sunday is reserved for God. Monday through Saturday, you get your thing on, you do your thing, and you don't allow what? God to work inside of you. He's always wanting to work inside of you. He'll speak to you Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, or a Friday, or a Saturday, not just Sunday morning. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. All right, let me keep going because I'm losing friends right quick. So the responsibility of this, I can remember a number of years ago, I was dealing with a situation and some people, I don't know how to say it, so I'll be real careful, but there was something that was going on and it bothered me. And a friend of mine walked up to me and said, yo, bro, that's what he called me. Yo, bro. He said, there is nothing broken inside of you. So don't give them that much credit. If anything is broke, it's inside of them. And it set me free. I thought, Lord, he's right. It set me free. Because I was walking around acting like there was something broke inside of me. It's broken. And that's why people settle in relationships, because they think there's something broken inside of them and no one would ever want them. And so they settle in a relationship because of their own brokenness. Well, listen, I've got good news today. Everybody shout, good news.
Good news.
There's nothing broken inside of you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to settle for a brother that limps. You know, he's got parts of his body missing, and he's never been in a meaningful relationship in his life. In fact, he's living with his mama now, and he hasn't worked steady in the last 6 years. You don't have to settle for that. But if you feel like you're broken, that no one would ever want me as a broken person, I have good news for you. There is nothing broken inside of you. And I know most of you, I know your personal stories. And so the drama and some of the relationships that you've come out of, those, you didn't want that divorce. You didn't want that breakup. You didn't want the thing to go in the direction that it was going in. But the question comes in, and we're starting to have some questions come in now, by the way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does the good God and a loving God require that you stay in a relationship with someone who is ultimately going to kill you if you don't get out? Now, I don't deal with this kind of thing publicly, because then people read all kinds of things into it. Pastor Billy Joe said the divorce was okay. No, God hates divorce. Look at somebody and say, God hates divorce.
God hates divorce.
There are reasons for divorces. Things happen in relationships. Now, let me end my quote, because like I said, unless I'm teaching this, I don't want to say anything and have somebody take me the wrong way. But here's what I want you to know. The good news is this. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. And how you say you can judge somebody and she can't ever get married again, and the Bible says you are committing sin if you get married again. Are you crazy? You don't know all the circumstances behind that divorce. The individual that had to walk away did not want the divorce. In fact, some individuals that got a divorce didn't want the divorce, never wanted the divorce. And the Bible says that God has called us unto peace. He's not called us under bondage, but unto peace. And so you would be now a loving father is going to keep you under the bondage of a divorce that you really didn't want for the rest of your life, even if you were the cause of the divorce. And you got your heart right and said, God, I want this. I didn't want to leave my family. I didn't want to leave my husband. I didn't want to leave my kids. But under the circumstances, I wasn't good. They weren't good. This wasn't good. La, 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 la. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin, although God hates it. And he tolerated it because if you read it, they were divorcing their spouses for every reason. I'm unhappy. I'm not happy anymore. Well, no, that person wasn't the source of your happiness anyway. And if you don't deal with what was so-called making you unhappy, you're going to drag that dog, that dead dog, right into the next relationship, and you may end up being divorced again. So get happy before you get, feels like happy, come along. Y'all remember that? Never mind. Can I get the praise of the Lord? All right, never mind. I'll keep going. Glory to God. Praise God. This is a prayer that you can pray for yourself. Lord, may you strengthen me, complete me, perfect me, make me what I ought to be, Lord. Give me every good thing to carry out your will. I'm allowing you. I am willing to be willing to. This is what I want you to write down right now. Be willing to allow God to work inside of you. Be willing to be willing. Man, I'm your pastor, and I have days. I'm in my prayer time this Friday, and sitting at my office, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm willing to be willing. You say don't complain, I won't complain. Because the Lord, I've been complaining about a couple things, and the Lord says, stop complaining. I heard it as plain as day. All right, Lord, the big stuff or the little stuff? He said all stuff. So a lady walked in the office and came in complaining. Man, it's cold. Oh, it's cold in here. Months ago, the air conditioner had gone out. You're sitting in there for 5 minutes. You're sweating like a polecat. When I heard her say, man, it's cold in here, I heard myself answer her before words were spoken out of my mouth. I said to her, it sure feels good in here to me because God had been dealing with me. Stop complaining. You're complaining too much. Shannon used the example at prayer yesterday that if you get to getting all that through your little pipe where the Holy Spirit is flowing, it starts getting clogged up with all your complaints. And before you know it, God has nothing to flow with, nowhere to flow because you're so full of other stuff. And you gotta get unclogged. Amen. Somebody said it's a spiritual what? Spiritual constipation, and you gotta get that blown out. Can I get an amen? Ask Brother Charles and some of these men to drive Walter drive car. Sometimes you gotta the problem with your car. Sometimes at your car, you just got to get it on the highway and get it up to about 90 or 85 and just blow it out. You. All right. Never mind. Because I lost some people. But he told me, he said, there's nothing broken inside of you. It's broken them. It's not broken you. The prayers over in Ephesians 1, verse 15. In fact, I won't read them. I want you to go back and read them in your own personal time. This prayer for the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 1, verse 15 through 21. That's one prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13 through 21. That's another prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He was reminding them that, man, may the God of all grace, the God of all heaven, may complete you, may he work in you, on and on and on. The greatest happiness is what God is doing to work inside of us. I want to be happy, Lord. I'm not married right now, and I want to be happy. Well, you can be happy before you're married. You can be happy before you have. I've always wanted to have children. You can be happy before you have children. Because, you know, after you have the children, there are going to be some days that they make you unhappy. They took the cookie. They didn't eat their vegetables. They climbed out of the window. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Amen. It's true. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 13. Man, I thought about this when I was single and got saved, and I was dating, and I was thinking about this, and man, I had my eye out for somebody. I mean, I'm on the campus, I'm looking. I go back home to Minnesota. I'm hoping that the girl that I was dating at the time, I was hoping that would work out. It would work out with her. That wouldn't work because she said, I'm not ready to get saved right now. So I had to get out of that relationship. And it was easy for me to walk away from it, even though we were crying and we parted ways. It was easy for me to walk away from it because I was attached to my source. God had been dealing with my heart. If she's not going with you, you can no longer go with her. And I had to break it off because she didn't want to go with him at the time. And I had to get out of this relationship. And so this thing of you dealing with this unsaved dude, and well, you know, the Bible says the unsaved one is covered by the man, and the unsaved wife is sanctified by the person is unsanctified is covered by, well, husband and wife is what he was talking about in the context. But I know people, you know, the dude is in jail, and I don't have a problem with people in jail, and he's about to get out, and he found the Lord in jail, Pastor Billy Joe, and we've been pen pals for the last 8 years, and he's about to get out, and I think I love him. I think I love her. Well, let them get out. Let them get jobs. Let them get acclimated to society, culture. Let them get their feet on the ground and bring them to church. And then we can see if there's a relationship there. But a brother can say anything while he's locked up. If I was locked up and I hadn't seen a beautiful woman in a long time, I'd be like, I love you, 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 I love you. You can say anything while you're behind bars and locked up. Now, I'm not down on guys that are behind bars and locked up. I'm just saying if he is saved now and growing in the grace of God, give him an opportunity to get out so that he can get his feet on the ground. The most important thing in his life is not you. It should be God. All right, let me keep going. Y'all are not happy. Where did I say go? Philippians what? 2, look at verse 13. For God is at work within you, helping you to want to obey him and then helping you to do what he wants. That's the Living Bible. God is at work within you, helping you to obey him and then helping you to do what he wants. God is all the while working in you. I'm saying that ahead of relationships, allow God to work within you. Be found allowing God to work within you. Prayer is not, it's not just something that we come together to do so that you can put, all right, Lord, I need some socks. I'm going to medical school and everything, and I need some tuition, and I need some free money out there. Lord, you, the Holy Ghost, you know where all the money is. Bring it in, bring it in, bring it in. Prayer is not just a matter of petitions for things that we want or things that we need or things that we desire. The greatest desire that I have in my life is to be closer to Him. He'll take care of all, but seek ye, help me out, first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will what? Be added unto, what? Somebody tell me what you think that means. What does that mean? Help me out. What does that mean? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will what? Be added unto you. I'm saying you should be in the I'm being added unto mode. And that's why you need a prayer time where you actually shut off everything, go sit down, kneel down, lay down, or something in the presence of God, so the things that He's wanting to add unto me, woo, glory to God, He can add them unto you. And that's the purpose of prayer. It's not just petitions of seeking stuff and needing stuff from God. It's laying in His presence so that He can just, Lord, listen, I don't need anything right now. And I just need you to add to me. And the Lord starts adding some stuff with you. He starts taking away your impatience. He starts dealing with your little attitude. He starts dealing with the fact that every 3 months you like to break a window out and get so angry and break a window out. God wants to deal with you about that. Come on now, amen. He wants to help deal with your road rage. I gotta get out of the way in Jesus' name. Using Jesus' name is not gonna negate the fact that you have severe road rage. And God wants you to get quiet enough in His presence so that He can add, take that away and add something to you. The greatest place, the greatest way to experience the love of God is to allow it to flow through you. That's the greatest way to experience God's love, to allow it to flow through you. That's why I'm consistently talking to you about being sensitive to other people, not thinking about yourself all the time. Maybe you're going about your business and you're thinking about someone else, and all of a sudden, while you're thinking about them, you start ministering to them, praying for them. All of a sudden, you yourself start experiencing the love of God because you're allowing that same love to flow through you. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, such and such and such. Hey, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I went to research one Thanksgiving, and there was the little boy there, and I know they're not supposed to take tips. I guess that's the rule. And I forced this kid to take a tip. I just forced it on him. I said, man, this is Thanksgiving, and I'm so thankful, and I want to be a blessing. You're going to take this tip today. You know, I gave him like $40. And he says, sir, we're not supposed to take that. Right, Matt? We're not supposed to take tips, sir. I said, well, pay it forward then. You're going to take this money. And I jumped out of my car, and he was like, sir, I can't take your money, sir. And I was like, I want to be a blessing, and you're going to take this money. Then. And I made him take that $40. So I hope he paid it forward. Amen. Because the rule is they can't take tips. But I was bent, I'm going to be a blessing today, and you got to take this money. And he finally, I think to get me off his back, he finally took it. The same verse reads like this in the Amplified Bible. Not in your own strength, but it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire. Everybody say the power and desire. Don't tell me, Pastor Billy Joe, I'm burnt out. I'm tired. I can't take another step. I'm dry. I just don't know what's going on. Well, what's going on is you haven't been spending enough time quiet in the presence of God. And the time that you do spend trying to be quiet in the presence of God, you take in your iPad and your iPhone and work and things you got to do and your schedule and everything else. And it's hard for God to get through all of that. That's been the problem. You've had so much going on that you haven't had these quiet times of interval where you go in and get quiet and do nothing and just hear from Him. You're going to have that. You need that. Nobody can burn the candle at both ends. But the word here says, for it is God who all the while is effectually at work in you, energizing you, creating in you power and desire. Getting quiet before him creates in you power and desire. Power to live. Desire to carry out the plan. Energizing you. That's where you get your energy. You cannot tell me that you're spending time with God and you're emerging out of there with the same bad attitude. It doesn't work that way. Can I get an amen? Now, I'm encouraging everybody, find some prayer time. Find a moment with God. Find some time with God. Find some time for God. And I'm talking about real time. I'm not talking about you got two. Well, I used to have seven things going on. Now I have two things. And with those two things, now I'm no. I'm talking about letting all of that go, letting it all go. I determined on Friday I was going to go to my office. I took a break and everything, helping some clients, doing some things. I said, nope, going to my office. Don't worry. My wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the office. I'm going to put on Brother Hagin, do my little meditation, get in the word, da, 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 da. I'm out. I'm determined. Power and everybody say power and desire. Whatever you desire and want from God, God will fill that. Those that seek and after righteousness, the Bible says, shall be filled. So I went to my office. I walk in. I'm praying. Get my bottle of water. Glory. Halamamashita. I'm getting quiet. I finally went in and I turned on Brother Hagin. And then I went back. Thought I heard something at the front door. Went to the front door. Nobody was there. I thought Charles was there trying to get in. Praise God. And I went and went back. And I'm walking around praying. Da 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 la la la. And I sit down in my chair. And as soon as I hit the chair, the Lord says to me, call Pastor so-and-so, and put a pastor on my heart that I hadn't even been thinking about. I hadn't been thinking about the person, hadn't been giving any thought to him at all. But as soon as I'm in this environment, and I'm in there, and as soon as I sit down, the Holy Ghost says, call Pastor so-and-so. I get right on the phone. I didn't wait, and I called him, get him on the phone, and 10 minutes into the conversation, he says, I'm glad that you called. You heard from God. My wife and I got a divorce a year and a half ago. I didn't even know it. He didn't even call me. He didn't even tell me. But the Lord wanted me to strengthen him and encourage him. So yesterday, Friday, that's what I did. Now, that was the direction of the Lord as I'm in there meditating and praying and seeking God. I hear people tell me, oh, Pastor Billy Joe, how do you hear from God? I never hear from God. Well, shut off everything and get quiet. I bet you'll hear from him. I was talking to the Lord. Let me close with this. I'm done because I don't want to take you over. I was talking to the Lord about a particular individual that we know that died. I won't call names. And I said, Lord, why did that happen? Why? Now, there are things that I pray about that the Lord will deal with me about them immediately. When I woke up yesterday to get ready to go to our open house prayer, I woke up at about 10 minutes to 6. While I was laying there, it was almost as if a finger nudge me on my back, just like that. I'm just laying in the bed, minding my own business. I know I got to get up. I got to get up at 8 o'clock because I need to go get the kolaches from the donut place. Then I have to go pick up some minis from Chick-fil-A and all that and get everything ready. We had already put some other things in the office that were there. But while I was laying in the bed, a finger nudged me, just like that. I thought it was my wife. I thought she nudged me because she wanted something. And I'm laying on this side, and I reach back to see if I could feel her hand or if it was her. She was sound asleep, snoring. And I continued to lay there, and I felt that little finger nudge me again, just like that. It was like, get up. I didn't hear anything, but I felt a hand. I was like, is she talking? But it wasn't her. So I woke up finally. And I didn't get up this time. Now, previous days, this past week and the other weeks, I've been waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, and praying, spending that time in prayer, calling out some of y'all. I knew that Mike, not to embarrass you, but I knew that Michael and Tristan, Miss T, over here, they were on vacation. And so, thank you, I prayed for them. Because Michael called me, he called in and said, now, Pastor, we're not going to be at church this week or the next week or the next week. I said, well, when you coming back? He said, we got to go see family. Got to see my mother, my father, whoever he saw. And I woke up and had him on them because he had called me. He called. So I woke up, had him on my heart, and I was praying that there's for their safe return. I woke up and that 4:30 prayer, not yesterday, but the other day, I was up at 4:30. I had my wife make coffee. Can you make some coffee, a pot of coffee? Because I'm up and I want to be able to stay up. So I'm not a coffee drinker, but I drink coffee that day. I woke up praying for John Davis, Miss Helen's husband. Had some physical things going on. So I was praying for her and him, and I can't pray for her and him without praying for Randy and without praying for Ashley, my mind went blank, without praying for Jeray and the other two little ones, and then Tracy and Scott, and then all, I think I even said all of the family in Pennsylvania, because they always go to Pennsylvania every year for their little family reunion thing, and da-da-da, I'm praying for them. I woke up praying for Miss, get over in the spirit. You forget names. Miss Helen. Oh, Miss Florence. That's what I meant to say. I'm looking right at her and didn't call her name. And it's that kind of thing that God, that's how God will work in you, work with you. But the key to this is this. I am willing to be willing. Some days I have long weeks, just like you guys. I'm working clients, doing stuff, running all the time. 3 weeks ago, I had to run out to Collinsville like three times. Woo, woo. What, 30-minute drive? Little traffic, 35-minute drive? I'm out to Collinsville. Is the garage door opener in the house? I wanted to say, I don't care. No, I'm kidding. But I drove out to Collinsville again, 30 minutes, to make sure that the garage door openers were in the house. Then I have to find time to get quiet before God. Pray for Tommy, because I knew Tommy was going to be doing Wednesday night Bible study while we were on vacation. So there's just something about this, that kind of flow. If you can stop there, kneel there, lay there, stay there, and allow God to work in you, it'll make a better you for your relationships, for your marriage that is coming. But you're wasting too much time distracted by marriage that you haven't given God time to work in you. Just go sit down somewhere. My mother had 9 kids, and her favorite phrase, I thought my name for a good portion of my life was sit down and shut up. I thought that was my name. Sit down and shut up. I thought, is that my name? Because you got all these kids and it gets crazy with all the kids. So sit down and shut up. That's what I thought my name was for years. Then I realized, oh, there's a Billy Joe in there. The good news today, man, is that if you and I are willing to be willing, You can know stuff so far in advance. People will, well, how did you know that? God revealed it to you 2 years earlier. You can flow and walk in that kind of intimacy with God. Now, I got to warn you, and I'm honest with this. Sometimes walking with God, It gets a little, I don't know the word I want to use, because I'm sitting here praying, man, and I'm telling you, somebody just walked in the door. And you're looking like, what was that? It's like, ooh, somebody just walked in. Somebody tell me, what was that? What was it? What was it? What was that that just walked in? Holy Ghost, presence of God. Could have been an angel. Brother Hagin, if you believe in visions, I believe in visions, tells about 7 different stories of Jesus appearing to him. And in one of those cases, he heard some footsteps coming down the hallway. He's sitting in the bed. And all of a sudden, the door is ajar, but all of a sudden, The door was pushed open, and as he looked up, he could see what looked like men's sandals. And it was Jesus then, pow, standing in front of him. He said, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And Jesus sat down for an hour and a half and began to talk to him about his ministry, his prophet's ministry. He said, the reason why you fractured your arm is because you put the teaching ministry before the prophet's ministry. You've been telling people, I'm a teacher and a prophet. And he said, no, you got them out of order. You're a prophet and a teacher. So I was going about my business this week and last week, and somebody asked me, said, what do you do? And I had found myself saying real estate and pastoring. And immediately the Lord got me. Now, I hadn't been reading about Brother Hand. I'd read that in the past, of course, again and again. But the Lord started dealing with me. Stop saying that. You're a pastor and you're a real estate agent. I got him in reverse order. I said that to say it's at these quiet moments God helps you to get that kind of stuff in order. Your purpose, college, major, business, marriage, whatever that is, you've got to get quiet enough. I'm telling you, listen, you're going to be held accountable for what you hear me saying right now. Because some of you are not doing this. God on Sunday, every other day, it's all about me. Can't be that way. If he's going to flow through you, you got to give him that time. Get quiet. Hear from him. Family, this, that, the other. It's so essential for you. It'd almost be like driving your car without any gas. You can't go anywhere without gas. You go to God to get filled up. Get your direction. Get your leading. That's what the Lord has been dealing with me about in prayer concerning you and I. Okay? So essential. Come on, close your eyes. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. We give you honor and glory today. We thank you for every heart, every life, the people of God that are here. I thank you for ministering to hearts. I thank you for ministering to families and marriages and singles that are standing and believing you to be in covenant relationship with their new spouse and their new family someday. I thank you that we're willing to be willing. Work in us, live in us, flow through us. I give you thanks for it. Thank you for the people of God, every home, every life, every relationship, every person, every son, every daughter. My prayer, Lord, is that you'll live big in us. Thank you for your love and goodness. We're on our way in Jesus' name. Let everybody shout amen and amen. Before we go, can we do a little bit? Flow to you, flow to you, flow to you, flow to you. Let the river of my worship flow to you. Here's a prayer. Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray. In all I do, let the river of my worship flow to you. Like streams in the valley, is that it? Like streams in the valley. They what? They swell with the rain. Swell with the rain. Oh, songs of my heart. Rise to bless your name, flow to you. Let my worship flow to you. Hallelujah.